I've been. It's pretty neat. I didn't know I was a lot of places. It's pretty neat. But someone says, I can take that off of your phone. I said, that's all right. I don't care if they know where I'm at, where I've been. And it's kind of funny to see how far I've traveled over a month's time. What they tell me what day I traveled the most, where I've been. Got little dots all over the East Coast where I've been. And people says, I can get that off your phone. I said, that's all right. They know where I've been, but God knows where I'm going. So we have to remember that. God knows that. So we see here Hezekiah prayed that prayer. He says, God, search me, know me. Get my house right with God. And that's what, like I said, that is one of the things we need to do in our lives is make sure everything's right in our life with God. And I know I'm preaching on Wednesday night to the faithful crowd that knows everything that I even know before, but we still never know what comes into our hearts that we need cleansed out. So we see here he prayed that, and the prophet got halfway through the middle court, and God tapped him on the shoulder. Hey, go back and tell him he's got 15 more years. I heard his prayer. And back he went and he says, Hezekiah, God has heard your prayer. He's going to give you 15 more years. Hallelujah. From the deathbed to 15 more years. Now, if you think about that, 15 years is not very long. But it's 15 more years that he could do more for God. So God honored his prayer, and he answered the prayer. And one thing I noticed down there in the bottom, Hezekiah, the prophet God says, "How do you want God to be, prove God anyway to show this happened?" He says, the prophet of God says, you want me to have God to move the sundial 15 steps ahead? Hezekiah said, nah. He says, it's always moving ahead. Move it back 15 degrees. Sure enough, it turned back 15 degrees. Now, here's a debate for you. You know, every once in a while, we have this great debate. Do we stay on standard time or fast time? Here's the first evidence of fast time. He moved it back to standard time. That's just a little, funny. Boy, you're a tough crowd tonight. But God honors the prayer. No matter what comes down our way, we know that God is able to help us out. He helped Hezekiah out. He lived for another 15 years. He passed away. And we see here that he went on. Now, if you turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 5, we'll look at another king. I'll just start with verse 1. It says, many years later, King
Belshazzar.
There you go, Belshazzar. We'll just call him Bel from now on, okay? Help me out, people. Old King Bel was up there. He was put in as king. Nebuchadnezzar had passed away. He stepped into the forefront. I think if you look into the scriptures, there was some relation there. There might be a son or a grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Don't hold me to that, but there was some connection there. And he decided he was the king. He was put in leader. And what did he say? He says, let's have a party. And they had a party. He said, bring everybody in, bring your wives, bring everybody. Oh, but let's get, they got wasted. They got happy with themselves. They said, look what we have done. King Bel was carrying on, and they were celebrating over the all the nations that Nebuchadnezzar's conquered, how he overran all of their other gods. And he says, oh, by the way, those Israelites had some gold cups down there in the they took out the what was that? That temple that they worshiped in. And it's in our storage room. Go get them. We will drink over in that and celebrate how great our God is over everybody else's God. So sure enough, there they were. They was out there. They was having a good time. And all of a sudden, God had enough. And said there was a hand, like a man's hand, came down and started to write on the wall. And it scared old King pretty bad. He got so scared he turned pale and his knees knocked together. Now, how many of you have been scared? Yeah. Hang around me a little while. I'll find some way to scare you. Just ask Pastor Cindy. I have scared her a few times. I've been in places where I've been scared, but my knees never knocked together. I have thought many times, old feet, don't fail me now. Get me out of this situation. But there his knees were knocking together, and he turned pale, and he called all of his people around, and he says, tell me what is that road up there? What is that? Tell me, somebody, get all the smart people, come up and tell me what that said. And all of a sudden they went and looked at it and they said, don't know. He said, now this is what got me. He says, I'll give you a robe of purple to wear. I'll give you a chain of gold and I'll make you third person in the nation. Hey man, that's pretty good, man. Back then, a robe, purple robe meant authority, royalty, gold chain means wealth, and the third person in the country. Couldn't find anything. Nobody answered to it. Nobody could figure it out. About that time, here comes his mother down, and he said, don't you know? Don't you remember that there was a man of God that Nebuchadnezzar always went to and found out what was going on and he could answer mysterious questions? Why don't you find him? His name is Daniel. So sent for Daniel. Daniel came back. And he said, oh, are you Daniel? Yeah, I'm Daniel. I hear that you can solve many mysteries. Yeah, you've solved a few. Not like Perry Mason, but pretty close. And he says, you see that handwriting on the wall up there? Ben said, yeah. If you interpret that and tell me what it means, I'll give you a robe, purple robe. I'll give you a gold chain around your neck, and I'll make you third in the nation. And I like what Daniel says. Oh, King, you can keep it or give it to somebody else. And then he went back and through and said, you know, O King Bel, what Nebuchadnezzar's done. He was walking around his palace and looked over and says, look what I did. King Nebuchadnezzar put himself above everybody and said, look what I did. And God says, no, you didn't. He said, yes, I did. And God says, no, you didn't. And he said, yes, I did. And about that time, God struck him down and he took a mind of an animal. And he blundered for so many years out into the field, grew feathers down his back, ate grass like a cow. Do we have any farmers in here? I was hoping Rich would come here. Could you imagine going out into the field and seeing a man eat grass with the cows? I've thought about that. My granddad had a farm, and I loved it when he told us in the evening, go out and bring the cows in. It's time to milk, because out through the woods and down through the pasture and around the bend and everywhere, look for the cows and drive them in. It would blow your mind away if you stood out there and watched a man eat grass, wouldn't it? You would say, wow, there is something wrong with that guy. About that time, after many years, he came to his senses and called on God and said, you are the Most High. Put him back in the thing. And this is what got me was that Daniel said, O king, you know this. You saw it happen. But look what you have done. And I thought to myself, how many times if we know what God wants us to do and we don't do it, we need to be prepared to go wherever God sends us and to do whatever God puts in our hearts. And I'll tell you one thing. Sometimes you look at God and say, you really want me to do that? And you think, man, it's one of the weirdest things I've ever done. Stop in the middle of Shopping Saves parking lot and pray for a deaf man. I went to talk to him. He says, I got a hearing aid in, but I can't hear. So I picked my voice up pretty loud. And I said, do you want me to pray for you? So everybody in the parking lot got to hear me pray because I prayed loud enough for everybody to hear me, for him to hear. But God will put us in a place to do that. And Nebuchadnezzar, the King Bel says, hey, tell me what's on that sign. What is up there? And Daniel said, this is what it says. I better get back here. It says, God has numbered your days for your reign and has been brought to an end. That was the first message. God has brought you to the end. Next part, it says, you have been weighed in the balance and have not measured up. Oh, man. That's one thing we don't want God to say. At least not me. I don't want God to say, John, I know sometimes I messed up and I didn't do quite what I was supposed to do. But anyway, God has always forgiven me. But this time the king was saying he didn't measure up. You're a little loose, you're a little light on the scales. And then he said, tonight your kingdom will end. And what did the king say to Daniel? It said, he commanded, David was to be dressed in a purple robe, a gold chain hung around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. Think about that. The man's life is about ready to end. God has called it to an end, but he still thought he could buy his way out. There is too many people in this world thinking they can buy their way out of the situation. And we have to be able to know that God is able to forgive us for any sins that we have done. But we have to call on him and knowing that we don't measure up. But with his grace and his glory, he forgives us and brings us into his house. What would happen if the king there would said, what do I need to do, Daniel? How can I weigh out? How can I get more weight on my scale? How can I even it out? Tell me. No, he went on his own ability and said, here, I'll give you this. And he took him out. And I can imagine Daniel leaving that place. And if you check into history, the next kingdom that came up blocked the water that was flowing through the city. And they blocked the water, channeled it off, and they came into the city and conquered it that way. It was a very fortified city. It was hard to conquer. Nobody could conquer it for years and years until they came along and blocked up the waterway and came. Could you imagine Daniel going back to his house and all of a sudden seeing all these other people coming at him with swords drawn and everything? I think he got rid of that purple robe real quick. and said, hey, I'm my third command here. But we see here that God continues to his word. And we have to realize that we have a choice. We can be Hezekiah, turn our face to the wall and call upon God. Or you can just say, well, it's all right. I'll make it somehow. I'll pay my way through. And to finish up, I would like to read. God laid this on my heart the other night. Romans 13. Start with verse 8. Owe nothing to anyone except your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandment says, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, and you must not steal. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others. So love fulfill the requirements of God's law. Now in verse 11, this is all urgent, for you know how late it is and time is running out. What are we living in? If we're not living in the last days, woo, woo, time is running out. Wake up, for your salvation draws near. Now then, when you first believe. The first time I heard that Jesus Christ was coming back. Now you're going to say John Skipper made that up. But there are some dates that stick in my head. Like June 6, 1972. Do you know how hot that day was 52 years ago tomorrow? Was it cold, rainy? Mary ought to know. It was about like 101 degrees in the Southern High School gymnasium. We graduated from high school that day. I remember that day. And I remember back in about 1968 at a tent revival, and someone spoke in tongues. And the interpretation was, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. For a 13-year-old boy, that shook me to the core. And it's whatever that is. From my 13, I'm 70. Someone else does the math. We're just that little bit closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ. We need to be ready, church. We need to be preparing. We need to take all the sin. It goes on down there, what to take off. My stand has went away from me. So remove your darkest deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of the right living. Because we belong to the day. We must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in darkness, mischievous, quarreling, jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the precious presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and don't let yourself think about the enduring the evil deeds. We need to have Jesus Christ living in our lives. We need to be able to walk with God every day. Will I hit perfection one of these days? Not while I live on this earth. I'll mess up, but guess what? God will forgive me. If I turn my back, get down on my knees and say, God, I messed up. Help me through this. He will. His grace will overshadow all the sins that I've ever committed. But we have to be preparing to get our eyes on what the world is telling us and everything, knowing that Jesus Christ is coming back. Are you looking for him? Are you expecting him? Are you? I hope so. Remember being a little boy sitting on the mailbox thing. Wait, about 4:30, I'd go out there and sit. Dad got off of work at 4:30. I'd sit out the end of the driveway. Mom says, why do you go out there so early? Well, Dad's coming. Yeah, but it's a half hour before he gets here. That's okay. I'd sit out there. Watch the traffic go up and down the road. And I lived on the Swallow Falls Road, and there wasn't a whole lot of traffic. But when I saw that green pickup pop over that hill, I said, hey, Dad's home. Hey, Dad's home. We had a neighbor come up and says, John, I don't know what you got in your kids, but they really like you because I know when you're coming, because all of a sudden we hear, Dad's here, Dad's coming, here's Dad. And the dogs bark and the cows moo and the kids yell, here's Dad. It was exciting to see Dad come. Let me tell you what, I am getting to see, exciting to see Jesus Christ. Aren't you? Man, I just want to walk down the streets of gold to see all the glory he has, how he carried me through different things in our lives. But God is coming back, church. Are you going to be King Hezekiah? Your days are short. Are you going to roll to the wall and cry to God and say, please forgive me? Or are you going to try bail me out? Now back to the little exercise we did before. Hide and seek. Probably how in the world is he getting that into the subject? But let me tell you what, God is looking. Always thought it'd be hard to play hide and seek with Jesus when he was a kid. Because he went to hide, you'd go to find him, and there he would be. Jesus, I was trying to find you. Yeah, but you were seeking me, and here I am. Or he'd be it, and, hey, how you doing there? How'd you know I was here? Because I know everything. But we see here that you got two options. He's going to say, ready or not, here I come. And people will say, hold on just one more minute, and it's not going to matter. He's coming. Hallelujah. But again, there is no olly in free. There's no other way but through Jesus Christ. Spread that around. Tell everybody you can that Jesus is coming. Jesus is the answer. That's what we need to do in these last days. I heard people saying they can't wait for the next great revival. I have a feeling the next great revival will not happen inside of a church. It will happen out there. When you meet someone on the street and they want to know what's wrong, why am I in this shape? You can say, I got the answer. His name is Jesus Christ. We need to spread that word around. Tell people about it, because we are getting overcome with all these other things, saying, well, this is right. This is how I feel. But let me tell you something. Jesus is coming. God's on his way. I think he's saddling up his white horse. Won't that be a great day? I'll have to tell this. We've done a funeral. We're getting ready to lower the casket in the grave. And I said something. And God said, so he said, well, I never had anybody come back out of the grave. And I said, Not yet. If I could be any place when Jesus Christ comes back, would be at the graveyard. Whew. Can you imagine what the cemeteries are going to look like when he comes back? Woo! Go out here to Memorial Gardens, you see how, oh man, it's well manicured. Grass is looking really good. Even if we go out and bury someone tomorrow, the next day they'll have sod down. You can barely, if you didn't know where to look, you probably didn't even miss it. But guess what? When Jesus blows that trumpet, or when Gabriel blows that trumpet, and he comes out across that, there's going to be a pile of dirt flying. I don't care how much concrete we put on top of him. Some of the people that I buried is coming up out of there because they was well-known Christian people. But we need that. We need to be able to spread the gospel knowing that Jesus Christ is coming back really soon. God is good, isn't he? Can't wait. Told Becky back there, I said, I'm tired. We had a long funeral today. I'm tired. She prayed for me. I feel a whole lot better now. But one of these days, we won't be tired anymore. Man, we can be able to jump high places and run places wherever we want to go. I can't wait. I can't wait.